All right, ladies and gentlemen, so we're on page 24 of the Mel Bay. We have very exciting looking music. I mean, just look at these two pages, 24 and 25. If someone had handed this to you, you know, let's say a couple months ago, it would have probably looked pretty intimidating, right? And now you're reading. You're going to read this. So it's really exciting. You're coming along nicely. You've gotten four strings down and you've got your eighth notes sorted out, and most melodies are in this range and in this sort of rhythmic notation, rhythmic subdivision. So without further ado, we're gonna try Tudor Dance, top of page 24, and we come in on what beat?
Four.
That's right. And the rhythm of the first bar is, well, after it goes 4, 1, 2, and 3, 4, and 1. So we go a little slower than that. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Rest. Not bad for first time through. Alright? And the only spot we got stuck on is around the sixth bar or so. Six and seven. So right on bar six where the E minor is, it's a B note. 3, 4. So now the whole thing. 1, 2, 3, rest. Totally cool. Well done. Well done. And I'm just adding chord, if you're wondering. I took the melody up an octave. Instead of, I'm going, and then the only reason I'm doing that is so I can stick chords under it. You know, so I can use the whole range of the guitar. That's something you'll learn in a few days. I mean weeks. I mean maybe months.
Years. Decades.
Here we go. We're going to do Mohegan Lament. And what beat do we come in on? One. Yep. So it's not a trick question. Or maybe it is. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Thank you. things about that. Number one, make sure the direction of your hand on the eighth notes is down, up, down, up, down, which I think pretty much it was, but for you listening as well. And then secondly, you just happen to bar three beats two and three. So circle those notes so that next time you... Now, I didn't give you a chance. I went right into it a second time. But at home, you would circle those notes now so that at home, next time you read this, before you read it, your eye goes right to that place and you practice that spot. So not only did we circle those notes, but let's go right on that beat one of bar three. Three, four. So there's a pick, there's a technique thing there, you know. Like, you guys... down. And then, the reason that next note is hard is because you got to skip a string when you go to C. So skip a string and go to C, second string. Yes. So that makes your right hand move around. So let's play bar three again a few times. Three, four. Make sure that the picking direction is down, down, up, down, down, and watch your, you might even look at your picking hand to make sure you're getting the string skip. All right, here we go again, three, four. Skip, good, but you did down, 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 so down, up, down in the middle. Three, four. Normal to have passages in reading. Any classical musician will tell you that sometimes that's their practice routine. Like, instead of, you know, warming up and doing scales and things, you know, they don't do that at all. They just focus on the more advanced or the tougher passages. You ever go to a classical concert and you see the orchestra and it's like 10 minutes before the concert and it's just all sounds like chaos? Well, what are they actually doing? Are they just making chaos for the fun of it? No. Each musician is going through the book and playing those passages that they find the toughest so that when they get there in the real performance, they've already played through it. So it's totally normal. So in other words, reading and technique go hand in hand. And in this case, we had a up and down scenario and a pick skip, string skipping scenario. A pick skipping. All right, good. Very good. We're going to move on to Dance of the Royal Court. Actually, I changed my mind. Instead of going to Dance of the Royal Court, let's go to Mohegan Lament one more time. But this time, you're going to do chords. And if you have the capability of recording yourself on your phone or on GarageBand or whatever you use, I highly recommend record the chords first and then go back and play the melody over it. And it's very fulfilling. So right now, I'll be the melodist. That's not a real word, I don't think. You're going to be the chordist, the accompanist. Here we go. Two, three, four. I missed that E7 note. The book is facing in a way I couldn't see it. All right, but good. So I highly recommend you do that. It's very fulfilling. And then for Dance of the Royal Court, it's in three-quarter time. We come in on beat one. All right, so here we go. One, two, three. Thank you. Okay, good. Any way you want to look at before we do it again? All right, so dance to the Royal Court one more time. One, two, three. Never saw these before, and you're reading. You're really making progress. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. One more thing. Go back and play chords. See, reading informs your chord playing, because when you see stuff like middle, second line middle of the bar, middle bar, where it's a weird placement of chords, right? How many? What happens in that bar?
There's a G.
G for how many beats?
One.
Yep.
A C for one and a G seven.
Yeah, and so no one needs to write in the little hash marks indicating that. You can just use your reading to indicate that. So that's very good. So you're doing chords. Here we go. One, two, three. Oh, wait, let's go over the three-quarter strum. It would be one, two, and three, and one, two. Let me just hear it a little bit. Like one, two, and three, and two. Good. Good. One, two, three. Your homework is to pick one of these either on 24 or 25 and record yourself doing the chords, and then come back playing the melody over it. Or if you have multi-track capability, then record both parts. We're gonna move on to Village Waltz. Great job so far. One, two, three. Spot. Second line. Good, you got through it. And then take a minute and go over it before we do it again. Here we go. Village Waltz. One more time. One, two, three. Beautiful.